This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Our rock critic Ken Tucker is here to play some of his favorite recordings of the year and run through his 10 best list. Ken is also a TV critic for New York Magazine. Ken, welcome back to Fresh Air. Let's start with hip-hop. What's new in hip-hop this year?
Hip-hop this year, I think it's the year of the producer. Producers really came to the forefront both as behind the scenes and as performers. You had this very interesting phenomenon in Georgia. This group, Lil Jon and the East Side Boys, make this music that's called crunk, which is a kind of combination of the words crazy and drunk with funk kind of thrown into it. But Lil Jon himself has become a very popular in-demand producer to the extent where his music is being produced for mainstream pop acts like Usher. You know, a year or two ago, Usher was just a very mainstream R&B singer, but he got hooked up with Lil Jon and wanted to kind of ride this wave of crunk music and ended up recording this song called Yeah, which is one of Lil Jon's catchphrases. Every song Lil Jon does, he yells, yeah. And it became a number one hit for Usher. So it's a very interesting thing. I'd like to play that song.
Oh, great. Well, let's hear it.
Peace up. A-Town. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Usher. Lil Jon.
That's Usher. Ken, you were saying it's the year of the producer, and the producer of the Usher track that we just heard has his own band.
Yes, Lil Jon and the East Side Boys. They just put out an album called Crunk Juice, which most of which cannot ever be played anywhere near a radio station. Lots of four-letter words, but it's very much against the tide of recent gangsta rap music in the sense that it's not about violence. It's all about partying. It's a much more hedonistic, have a good time kind of music. I find it very repetitive, frankly, but the basic beats to it, I find connect up with that George Clinton, James Brown, very elemental drum beats, synthesizers used as percussion. It's a very interesting style that is basically run into the ground. I'll be very surprised if at the end of 2005 Lil Jon has not faded from the scene. But right now, Crunk Juice is the sound of the moment.
That's Lil Jon and the East Side Boys. My guest is Ken Tucker, Fresh Air's rock critic. We're reviewing the year in music. Ken, you've been referring to this as the year of the producer in hip-hop. Is there any other producer you want to single out?
Yes, a very prominent one was Kanye West, who had produced a lot of hits for acts like Jay-Z and Ludacris. He put out his own album called College Dropout, and it got more Grammy nominations than any other album this year. So he's another person who's very... coming to the forefront as a performer as well as a behind-the-scenes producer.
I know one of the albums you really liked this year was Green Day. Day's latest, which you've described as a punk opera. Has this been a year where punk has had a lot of influence on current bands?
I think that the resurgence of Green Day, who hadn't put out an album in a few years, and the release of American Idiot really kind of coalesced this idea that there was a lot of punk-influenced music that was around this year. Bands that I really liked, like The Hives from Sweden, a lot of them were going back to that very, you know, two or three chords, 3-minute songs, very much in the mode of the Ramones. It was a real harking back to the 70s, and I think with a kind of fresh energy.
You want to play something?
Yeah, I'd like to play the title song from American Idiot on Green Day's album.
That was Green Day, and Ken, you know, we were talking about the influence of punk music on current bands, and this was a sad year for the Ramones, one of the seminal punk bands, but in a way it was an interesting year for their legacy. What happened this year?
Yeah, this was the year that Johnny Ramone died of cancer. He was 55. That follows the death of Joey, also died of cancer in 2001, and Dee Dee Ramone, who OD'd in 2002. Tommy is the only surviving Ramone. There's a really remarkable, I thought very moving documentary that was released this year called End of the Century, The Story of the Ramones, in which Johnny especially was particularly eloquent and poignant about what the band was about. It really, the band was their life, and it was a very ultimately sad story of the way they really thought that they would be the number one band in the country throughout, you know, a 25-year existence, and instead they became kind of the consummate road band that always had a very firm cult following but never quite broke through.
With me is Ken Tucker, Fresh Air's rock critic, and we're reviewing the year in pop music. We talked a little bit about the influence of punk. What about rock and roll?
I think what we think of as good old-fashioned rock and roll played by, you know, on guitars and drums without a lot of other ornamentation. There are a number of very strong albums, foremost of which I thought was this band Eagles of Death Metal that I liked a lot. And scattered all over the world. I mean, The Hives from Sweden, who sing songs in English, put out their second album. It wasn't quite as strong as the first one last year, but I remember seeing them on David Letterman, and the energy was just absolutely explosive. And the fascinating thing about the TV appearance with David Letterman was Letterman introduced him, and you could tell it was one of those things where Dave kind of maybe knew, and his staff told him he should have this band on. They played this song called Walk, Idiot, Walk, which to me is a wonderful song that has a kind of elemental, like the Kingsman's Louie Louie kind of riff to it. And they just exploded through this song. And in 2 minutes, it was over. And David Letterman got up from his desk, walked over, and he said, "Now that's how you do it. That's the way it's played." And he like shook the guy's hand with two hands, which you never see Dave have any physical contact if he possibly can avoid it with any guest, and warmly shook this guy's hand. And he said, "Really, thanks a lot, fellas." He said, "You just blew the roof off this dump." And I felt like, yeah, that's exactly how I feel when I listen to The Hives.
Well, play something for us.
I'd like to play that song, Walk, Idiot, Walk.
Great.
See the end.
That's The Hives. Fresh Air's rock critic Ken Tucker will run through his 10 best list after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Ken Tucker. He's Fresh Air's rock critic, and he's here to review the year in pop music and play us some of the highlights. What are some of the things that happened this year on the fringes?
It was a good year for fringe music in the sense that you had the greatest fringe artist of all time, perhaps, Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys, finally, after 30-some-odd years, released Smile. This almost legendary album that he did in 1965, laid down basic tracks for, but then withheld from the public because he basically had a nervous breakdown at that point. But with his longtime collaborator, Van Dyke Parks, he very painstakingly reassembled, re-recorded Smile from scratch. And it's very interesting to hear now because this is not retrieved old 35-year-old tracks. This is a newly recorded version of Smile. So Brian Wilson's voice is scratchier, deeper, more kind of damaged in a way. But it's very interesting to hear him sing songs that we're very familiar with, like the song I'd like to play, Surf's Up.
A diamond necklace plays upon hand in hand, some drums along to a handsome man in the charm. Up line class aristocracy, back through the opera glass you see the pit and the pendulum draw.
That's Brian Wilson from Smile. Ken, what about a younger newcomer, kind of people on the fringe?
Yeah, there was a very wide range of people who didn't kind of fit into any categories. There was this young woman named Nellie Mackay who put out a double album, which is kind of unusual for a new young artist these days. And she's influenced. She says she's influenced by, you know, everything from the Beatles to Doris Day songs. And at first I found her terribly precious. She has this... She wears her hair in a bob and affects these kind of 50s clothes, and I thought she was terribly mannered. But then the more and more I listened to these songs, I thought she was a very strong singer-songwriter. And it's unusual for a major label like Columbia to get behind an act like that. There's a sister duo called Tegan and Sarah who put out a really good album called So Jealous. Sort of the annoying commercial hook that they're sold by is that they are identical twin sister who also happen to be lesbians, a dubious commercial hook to be sure. But the album So Jealous is really terrific. And previously they'd done primarily folk music, and they added a lot more rock and roll elements to this music, which made it a lot more quirky. Another band that I really like is a group called Fiery Furnaces, which is composed of a brother and sister, Eleanor and Matthew Friedberger. And they put out this very difficult album in a certain sense called Burberry Boat. A lot of the tracks were 8 or 10 minutes long. Rolling Stone described them as trying to rewrite Finnegan's Wake for rock and roll, which I thought was rather stupid of Rolling Stone, because the songs are very long and leisurely. To me, they reminded me of the poetry of John Ashbery, very kind of imagery that's kind of fragmented, just making on the verge of making sense a lot of the time. But to me, it was the most poetic album of the year.
Is there anybody you'd like to play for us from the New Fringe?
Yeah, there's a Scottish band called Aberfeldy. There was a big hype for another Scottish band called Franz Ferdinand, and everybody who liked Franz Ferdinand, I would say to them, no, that's not the Scottish band you should like. It's this other band called Aberfeldy. So in the interest of promoting their career more, I'd really like to play a song of theirs called Slow Me Down.
That's Aberfeldy, and with me is Fresh Air rock critic Ken Tucker, and we're reviewing the year in pop music. And Ken, I think this is the moment we've all been waiting for, the dramatic and stirring reading of your 10 best CDs of the year.
Well, thank you. Let me preface it by saying this is probably the last year I would ever compile a list of albums. I think that the music scene has become so fragmented that it's so much of an iPod culture, downloading of specific songs, that I think in the future I'll be thinking much more in terms of the way a lot of people listen to their music, which is kind of individual songs, moments, perhaps a song performed on television. But so this adds a misty layer of nostalgia, I think, to the reading of the list this year.
Well, you just said songs performed on television. I think what you're saying here too is that people are finding music differently than they used to.
They are. I mean, you know, it's like I'm not ashamed to say that I watch The OC every week, and that people watch The OC, listen to the music that's played on that, and then stay through the closing credits because they tell you what songs, what albums were played in that episode of The OC. So it's another form of marketing. And, you know, 10 years ago, that would have been seen as a complete sellout. And now bands, completely respectable, credible indie bands like The Shins, get a lot more airplay, a lot more notice than they ever would agreeing to appear or be played on a television show.
Does that say something about the state of radio?
It does say a lot about how limiting radio is and how these bands have to find any way possible to get their music out there, and listeners recognize that.
Okay, so here's the moment.
Okay.
The moment we've been waiting for.
It's almost going to be anticlimactic, isn't it? My favorite album of the year was Eagles of Death Metal's Peace, Love, Death Metal. Number two was Brian Wilson Presents Smile. Number three was the Black Keys and their album Rubber Factory. Number four is Green Day's American Idiot. Number five is Nellie Mackay's double album called Get Away From Me. Number six is a fairly recent release by Ted Leo and the Pharmacists, a really terrific old-fashioned rock and roll album called Shake the Sheets. They're from North Jersey. Number seven is Ludacris, Bill O'Reilly's Bette Noire, and his album Red Light District. It's a really, really funny, bragging album. Talks about, you know, how many albums he's sold right in the first track. He's really funny. Number eight is Tegan and Sarah's album, So Jealous. Number nine is that Scottish band I mentioned, Aberfeldy's album called Young Forever. And number 10 is this very young, eccentric young artist named Jolie Holland, who plays a piano and ukulele on a wonderful album called Escondida. So that's the 10.
Okay. Well, thank you, Ken. And you should choose something for us to go out with.
Yeah, I think I'd really like to go out on Jolie Holland and her song, Sasha.
All right. Well, happy holidays.
Same to you. Thank you.
Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Ken Tucker is Fresh Air's rock critic.
Tonight, my heart is full of a sad song. My lonesome lover has taken off. I'm wandering around on a cloud, empty-hearted and down and out. It's been a week, I think, since he rolled into town, and it's been years that I've heard these stories about this fella. He's so brave and so alive, turning this world around from the out to the inside.
Coming up, the first season of the HBO series The Wire is out on DVD, and critic John Powers has a review. This is Fresh Air.